the Shabbos before Purim is known as Shabbos Parsha Zohar when we read the Parsha at the end of Kiseitse. Some Rishonim seem to assume that it's really a mitzvah to read it once a year, every year. Shir Shikcha is Yud Beis Chodesh, or it says Zohar Lo Sishkach. But it says in Shulchan Aruch that this biblical mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek doesn't necessarily have to be fulfilled in Torah. The Shabbos before Purim, that part is only with the Rabbanan. So if one missed davening on Shabbos Parsha Zohar, he should pay attention this week on Shabbos Parsha Kiseitse. Morgan Abram points out, I think it's in Hilchas Abba Rabba, that there's another zechir in today's sedra, Zohar Esel Shoros Hashem Lekecha Miriam, we should remember Chet Miriam. And he poses a question, why do we make a big fuss on Parsha Zohar? We make an announcement, and the yeshiva, everyone should pay attention to be yotze with the brachas and to be yotze the mitzvah of Zechiras HaMolek. We have a special haftorah, and in the yeshiva, it's a big SLY Shabbaton, Parsha Zohar. Why don't we make a fuss about Chet Miriam? Every year on Parshas Baal Oscha, we should make a big fuss. He says it's an embarrassment to Miriam at Tzadekis, so we don't make a big fuss about it. But just like if one missed hearing Parsha Zohar on Shabbos before Purim, we should pay attention on Parshas Kiseitze. So this week, Parshas Kiseitze, we should all pay attention. The Baal Kori has to realize that there's another Zechira in the Parsha, Zechira Schet Miriam. If he does know there's such a mitzvah, then he won't have Kabbalah to be Motzi everybody. And people have to realize that there is such a mitzvah, Zechira Schet Miriam. And they have to have a mind to be yotze this mitzvah. We don't make a fuss about it because it's an embarrassment to Miriam Atzadekes. But there is such a mitzvah. The same thing, Zechiras Chet HaEgel, according to some Rishonim, the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvahs has. And the Magen Avraham didn't have a Sefer HaMitzvah, but the Magen Avraham quotes it from the Medrash Yalkut Shemoni, that it's a mitzvah in Torah to remember Chet HaEgel. Also perhaps the laying once a year, every year. So when you're laying Parshas Kisis about Chet HaEgel, you have to have in mind. We don't want to make a big fuss about it. We don't make an announcement. Everybody should have in mind to be Yotze. We don't have a special Haftarah about it because it's an embarrassment to the Jewish people. But it's a mitzvah to remember the Chet HaEgel. What exactly is the mitzvah to remember Chet Miriam? Why is that a mitzvah to remember Chet Miriam? So the Sifrei has a comment that Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against her brother Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Baal Oischa, and she was punished with Tzaras because of that. That's what the Gemara in the end of Erevin says, based on that story in the Chumash, Achoshe Biksherim Loike Begufoi. She was Choshe, the Moshe Rabbeinu was very arrogant. Harakach B'Moshe Dibra Hashem, who does he think that he is? We're also Nevi'im. Aaron and Miriam were also Nevi'im. They didn't have to be pirish. They didn't have to divorce their spouses. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu think that he's bigger than everybody else? Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, he's absolutely bigger than everybody else, the biggest Navi. So the Chafetz Chaim wrote, among the many Sfarim that he wrote, they have in the three volumes of the Kol Kisvei Chafetz Chaim, he has another Sefer, Zohar LeMiriam, on this mitzvah, again, about Lashon Hara, another Sefer about Lashon Hara. Rav Soloveitchik thought that he thought that was a little difficult, that that's what this mitzvah means, Zechiras Chet Miriam. Lashon Hara is a terrible avera, but is it one of the Ikari HaAmuna? That this is one of the Sheish Zechiras, to remember Chet Miriam. It's a different kind, it's a terrible avera. You destroy people's reputations, you destroy their whole lives. So he thought that Rav Kook had a very nice idea. Rav Kook has a Siddur, Oilas Ria. Rav Soloveitchik said he didn't really understand the other Svarim of Rav Kook, they're written in such a difficult style Hebrew. Rav Soloveitchik also had a different style Hebrew. Chazon Ish also had a totally different style Hebrew. So Rav Kook has a very different style. So he said he didn't really understand so well the other Svarim of Rav Kook, but the Siddur he liked very much. He used to say over things once in a while. So after Shachris, when you have printed in the Siddur the Sheish Zechiras, so Rav Kook has there, maybe the Zechiras Chet Miriam is to keep in mind that Ikar in Amuna. The Rambam lists off the 13 Ikari Amuna. So he has two Ikarim. One Ikar is we believe in Nevuah. Nevuah is possible. that God can communicate with man and has communicated in the past and will communicate in the future. Now we're in a period of history. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry at the Jewish people and he's not giving any nevuah. Shlomo HaMelech said, Baruch HaKadosh and Shir HaShirim, M'chaymahi nivna aleha tiris kesvin, delisi natsa lalu acharez, imyalo kachayma. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew already that it was going to be Chorev. They were told this from the times of the Chet HaMeraglim. In the Chumash it's a little unclear, but in Yecheskel and in Tehillim it says b'feirush, right after the Chet HaMeraglim, Kadosh Baruch Hu told Bnei Yisrael that when they go into Eretz Yisrael they will be sent into Golus because of the Meraglim, and the Beis HaMikdash will be Chorev. So Shlomo HaMelech, when he built the first Beis HaMikdash, he knew it was going to be Chorev. He said, Baruch HaKadosh, what's going to be with the second Beis HaMikdash? After the 7 years of Golus Babel, they'll build the second Beis HaMikdash. Will that last? Will that also be destroyed? So he said, Baruch HaKadosh, M'chaymahi, M'yalo K'chaymah. If everybody will return back to Eretz Yisrael, which didn't happen, if everybody will return back to Eretz Yisrael, then Nivna Lehatiris Kesef. Then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like a metal structure. And metal doesn't rot. If you drop bombs on the World Trade Center, you can destroy metal building also. But it's not going to rot by itself. A wooden hut, a bungalow, a wooden hut, well, the wood will rot away. But if if it'll be a shvach aliyah, then the second Beis HaMikdash will be like made from wood, like a wooden hut, that it'll rot away. So the Gemara understands this pasuk to mean two levels of rotting away. Number one, the Beis HaMikdash will be chorev. Second Beis HaMikdash will be chorev. And number two, the Jewish people will rot away. There won't be any, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not send any more neviim. So what happened was, after the 7 years of Golus Babel, hardly anybody went back. Very small number of Jews went back to Eretz Yisrael. Overwhelming majority of the Jews remained behind. The Jews who went back to Eretz Yisrael were all the weaker levels of Yichus, the real Miuchasim, the real Kohanim, Levim, and the Ksherim, the Chalolim, the Mamzerim, the Nesirim, Asor Yichus, and all the Mibabel, all the Psuli Edis, all the Psuli Kol went back to Eretz Yisrael. The real Miuchasim stayed behind. So that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu punished Bnei Yisrael that until the future, there won't be any more Nevi'im. The three Nevi'im he had to send Chagas Chaim Malachi because he can't build the Beis HaMikdash without authorization of a Navi. That's the Pasuk, the Shich Nesirushu in Parashas Re'eh, the Shich Nesirushu Vasa Shama, Rosh Al Pi Navi. You have to have a Navi authorize you to build the Beis HaMikdash. So he had to send Chagas Chaim Malachi, and each one gave a different Nevuah, gave a different aspect of Nevuah regarding the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. And Malachi was the last one. He signs off Sichu Torah Moshe Abdi. He tells all the Jewish people they better observe the mitzvahs in the Torah. He says, I'm the last Navi. HaKadosh Baruch not going to send any more Nevi'im to give Musar. The role of a Navi is to give Musar in Terchacha, to be machzor the people of Mutav. So he says, Yenechshalach lechem seli ha-Navi lefnei b'yom Hashem ha-Gadol v'anar. The next Navi is going to be Eliyahu Navi. Going to be the day before Mashiach. It's going to be a long wait, a long pause in between my Nevuah. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is angry. So that's what the Rebbe has, the famous comment in Hilchos Beis HaBchira. The Rebbe writes that when Ezra built the second Beis HaMikdash, Yadeo HaYezra She'osid Le'echarev, he knew from day number one that the Beis Shein is going to be destroyed, because Shlomo HaMelech already said B'nevuah, he said Baruch HaKadosh, that if hardly anybody will return back from Bavel, then it's going to be Beis HaMikdash will be Chor. So that's what the Rebbe writes, Yadeo HaYezra She'osid Le'echarev. So therefore, the Ravid claims that Lo Kitcha Lo Silova, the Mokam HaMikdash does not have Kedusha. Why not? So he claims the reason why is because Ezra knew it's going to be Chorev, so he was only Mekadoshet, Kol's mind is going to be lasting. He never had a mind to be Mekadoshet after that. And that helps. Let's say I give a ring to a girl and say, I rep Mekadoshet for the next 50 years. After 50 years, the marriage should dissolve by itself. There is no such thing. And Mamanis, he can do it like that. I can give you a field which should belong to you for 50 years, and after 50 years, it goes back to me. Or I can say, Acharav Leplaini, the Gemara has case, I say, I make a kinyan, the field should belong to you, and after you die, it should belong to Reuven, after he dies, it should go to Shimon, after he dies, I can make kinyonim lachazman. I can make a kinyon lachazman and not kinyon lachazman. But in marriage, the Gemara said you can't do such a thing. And kedusha, kedusha is like paka bechdi, so that's problematic. But the rabbi thinks that the makam amigdush is like kitcha losilo, but there's no kedusha today because Ezra was only mikadosh at lizman. There is such a thing, be mikadosh lizman. I say an animal. I raise the korban oila only for 60 days. After 60 days, and I wasn't makrevid yet, so the kedushas oila disappears, vanishes into thin air. We usually assume kedusha lo paka bichdi. Kedusha doesn't disappear. That's a problematic ravid, but that's what the ravid says. So in the Rambam has these two from the 13 Ikarimun. He has two about Nevuah. One is we believe in the principle of Nevuah. There are those philosophers who think that logically and philosophically it's impossible that God should be able to communicate with man. God is infinite and man is finite. How can they have communication? We say there can be. There is such a thing. There can be Nevuah. We live in a period now where there's no Nevuah. There can be Nevuah. And the other side of Nevuah is you can have tefillah. Man can pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu listens to the prayers. When God talks to man, that's called Nevuah. When man talks to God, that's tefillah. So that's one ikar in Nevuah, that Nevuah exists, and included in Nevuah is tefillah. Conversation, and communication in both directions. Then the Rambam has another ikar in the Yud Gimel Ikar Emunah, that Moshe Rabbeinu has the highest level of the Navi. So that point was the Zgala to the Jewish people after the Chet Miriam. Because she said, who does he think that he is? He thinks he's a bigger Navi than us. We got Miriam and Moshe, Miriam and Aaron were also Nevi'im, and they didn't have to get divorced from their spouses. But why did Moshe Rabbeinu think that he's better than us? So Miriam was choshe that her brother was a Baal Gai, but HaKadosh Baruch says, only Mikol Adam, he's more humble than anybody. You'd never realize that he's way higher Madrega than you. So what is the significance of this? And Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevi'im, the highest level of a Navi. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that comment that Rav Kook has in the Siddur Elosriya is a very interesting comment. Maybe that's what it means, the Chiras Ched Meir, not so much to remember that one is going to talk Lashon Hara, is going to be punished. That's important to remember also. But it could be that that's an additional level of interpretation of the Chiras Ched Meir. Maybe the Iker is Chiras Ched Meir, to remember the Iker in Emunah, that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevi'im. What's so significant about that? So Rav Soloveitchik mentioned that Minchas Chinuch has a kasha. There is a din in the Gemara in Masechah Sanhedrin. You have a few prokim. Elohein HaNiskolim, Elohein HaNisrofim, Elohein HaNechnokim, Elohein HaNerogim. Then it continues into Makkos, Elohein HaGolim, Elohein HaLoikim. The second parak of Makkos, the third parak of Makkos. The Ramban writes in Mohammed in one place that Makkos is the Hemshech of Sanhedrin, because there it lists off Elohein HaNiskolin, then it goes Elohein HaLokin, Elohein HaGolin. So and then the Mishnah is having the beginning of Krisis. The Mishnah lists off the Lamed Vav Krisis HaMoez Batorah. It's not a punishment that Bezin gives, but it's a punishment that they give in Hashemayim. So the Mishnah lists of the first daf, the first Mishnah in Krisis, lists off all the 36 averus to which the punishment is cursed. And then there's a long Tosefta that's quoted in Sanhedrin around daf Pegimel, goes on and on and on. Eilehen Shavimisa, the following people, Lachai Misa B'dei Shemayim, a short list, nowhere near 36. The Lama Vav Krisis, but Misa B'dei Shemayim is a short list. So one of those is Misa B'dei Shemayim is Oivra Al Divrei Novi. If your Novi tells you to leave YU and go to Turo, even though it doesn't make any sense, you have to listen to whatever the Novi says. Tells you leave Turo, go to YU, whatever. You have to listen to what the Novi says. If you know he's a Novi, maybe he's a crackpot. If you know that he's a real Novi, then you have to listen to everything he says. Whoever's Oivra Al Divrei Novi is Chaim Misa B'dei Shemayim. So the Minchas Chinuch is bothered with Akasha, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu said, we're not allowed to talk Lashon Hara. So whoever talks Lashon Hara is Chaim Misa B'dei Shemayim. Moshe Rabbeinu said, you have to recite Kriya Shema Bizman. So if a person misses Zman Kriya Shema, it's Chaim Misa B'dei Shemayim. Every sneeze of an Avera You do, I know, you hurt someone's feeling. I know, I was doing Michael Nisa B'dei Shemayim. How can it be? We never heard of that. So why do you have a short list, less than 15 people, Nisa B'dei Shemayim? Every sneeze, everything that it says in the Torah is over the Rei Novi. So that's the Menchas Chinuch's Kasha. The different suggestions have been given over the years. They're all difficult suggestions. Rav Soloveitchik gave a suggestion years ago. And now that's the accepted suggestion. Everybody has accepted and has adopted that position. However, Dibei Novi means by definition, Hayroa Shoah. Nevuah means Hayroa Shoah. When a Novi tells you, he tells you to do something today that's not in Shulchan Aruch, not in the kids of Shulchan Aruch. A new thing. He tells you what to do for a living, whom to marry. So you have to listen to the Novi. Whenever a Novi tells you Adin L'Doris, that's called Torah. That's not called Nevuah. So Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon Hanavim, he was the only one who was given Torah, Dinim L'Doris. When Moshe Rabbeinu gave over Dinim only HaRuah Shoah, that would also be Oival Dibbe Nabi Chai Misa V'dei Shaman. Not everything that Moshe Rabbeinu said was L'Doris. Some of the Dinim were only HaRuah Shoah. Like Moshe Rabbeinu said, no one should leave over Mon till the morning. Everyone should eat up what they have. So leave over the Mon, Yechai Misa V'dei Shaman. Or Moshe Rabbeinu said, a girl who gets Yerusha shouldn't marry someone out of her shape. So the Gemara said that was only HaRuah Shoah till the end of the 14 years Shevish HaKosher and Shevish HaChilkel. After that, the din didn't apply anymore. So whoever would violate that din that Moshe Rabbeinu said would be Chayim Misa B'dei Shemayim. That's Oval Divrei Novi. Moshe Rabbeinu had here and there, he told them everybody has to knock on the next door neighbor's doors before Yitzias Mitzrayim and ask for Matonis. That's once in the history of the world. There's a mitzvah like that. So whoever wouldn't knock on the next door neighbor's doors, but he feel uncomfortable with B'chai Misa B'dei Shemayim. But most of the things that we have in the Chumash, that Moshe Rabbeinu taught B'nai Yisrael, were Dinim L'Doris. So that's Torah, that's not Nevuah. That was Rav Soloveitchik's suggestion. Anyway, that's this Shabbos is Parsha Zohar, a double Parsha Zohar, Zchiras Chet Miriam, and Parsha Zohar for Zchiras Amalek. Rabbi Shlomo Vilna and his brother Rabbi Tzal Vilna were both Dayanim in Vilna in the late 1800s, early 1900s. Also, Rabbi Shlomo Vilna was around for a long time. They were both Dayanim in Vilna. Shlomo Vilna, we have in the back of the Gemara, you have the Cheshek Shlomo and you have Svarim that he wrote. He was really a big genius. He writes about his brother Rabbi Tzal Vilna that he was the big genius in the family. Must have been a super genius. So Rabbi Shlomo Vilna has a Sefer Binyan Shlomo. So he has a table of contents, and he writes one chapter in the Sefer is that when you learn Parshas Amalek, Zechiras Chet Amalek, the Baal Korich, he was a Kohen. Shlomo Vilna and brother Rabbi Tzal Vilna, they're both Kohanim. So he says the Baal Korich can't be a Kohen for Parshas Zohar. Why? Because the Sefer Achinach writes that women are not drafted in the army. That's a Gemara, first daf in Kiddushin. Women are not supposed to be drafted into the Israeli army. So, since women are not drafted in the army, they're not mechuyev to hear Parsha Zohar. You're only mechuyev to hear Parsha Zohar to remind you that in case there'll be a Muhammad with Amalek, you'll have to join, you'll have to serve in the army. But women are not drafted in the army, so mele, they don't have to hear Parsha Zohar. But there were those who, the Menchas Chinuch, questioned the validity of this Chiddush of the Sefer Chinuch. And he says, maybe it's not right, maybe women are mechuyev. And Rav Nos Nadler, who was the Rebbe of the Chasam Sefer, also, he lived in Germany for quite a while. So he, in Frankfurt most of the time. So he also questioned the correctness of this Sefer Chinuch. So that's why by a lot of Yekis, they have the practice, it came from Rav Nos Nadler, that they'll, on Shabbos, Parsha Zohar, in the afternoon, the young women have to watch their babies, so they can't go to shul in the morning, so they miss Parsha Zohar. So by the exes that we practice 5 minutes before Mincha, Shabbos Parsha Zohar, they lay in Parsha Zohar for the women who missed it in the morning. Then the husbands, then they daven Mincha right away, so the husbands miss Mincha. Or the husbands have to daven a different Mincha, whatever. So this is, Moshe Feinstein thought that it wasn't right, that to take out, since the women are potter from Parsha Zohar, he thought it's not bekovedik to take out a Sefer Torah and to open up and to lay unnecessarily. Years ago, they didn't have any svarim, so they would always learn from a Sefer Torah. The Tanoim used to learn. But today, we have printed chumashim, so Moshe felt that it's a certain sense, it's a bizayon haTorah to take out a Sefer Torah from the Ohr Kodesh unnecessarily. And he thought that this was considered unnecessary. The Mikra then the women are put. Abchaim Kanievsky, who just passed away recently, has a Sefer on Tanakh. I think it's called Taima Dikra. Interesting comments on Tanakh. So he put it out in different editions, and every time he put out a new edition, he added on more things. So one year his mother passed away, and then he put out another edition of the Sefer Taima Dikra. So he wanted to quote things that he heard from his mother, Divrei Torah that he heard from his mother in the name of her brother. Her brother was a Chazon Ish. So he quotes things that he heard from the mother in the name of the brother. So one of the things, interesting things, so one of the things is that the Chazon Ish told the sisters, he had a big family, something like 12, 13, 14 brothers and sisters. And they were all Rabbanim, all Talmid Chachamim, and the sisters all married Talmid Chachamim. One sister married this type of going. So he told them that on Shabbos Parsha Zohar, the Iker is like the Sefer Chinuch, women are not mechuyev to hear Parsha Zohar, and if they don't feel well, they shouldn't strain themselves. They're not mechuyev to go to shul to hear Parsha Zohar. Not like Rav Nos Nata, not like the Minchas Chinuch. So Rav Shlomo Levilner has in his Sefer Binyan Shlomo, he has a table of contents. So he writes the topic that's discussed in each chapter. So he writes in one essay, the topic is that Kohanim are not drafted into the army either, because the army, they're going to shoot to kill. They're going to be dead bodies all over the place. Kohanim are not allowed to be Matam Elamesim. So since Kohanim are not allowed to be drafted into the army, so they're potter from hearing Parsha Zohar, just like women are not drafted into the army, so the Sefer Chinuch assumes the women are potter from Parsha Zohar, so Kohanim are potter. So the Mishnah says at the end of the third parak in Rosh Hashanah, if you have a cherish to be cut, then it's the best baltekei in town. He can't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah. He's not mechuyev bedover. It's only mechuyev min the rabbanon, but he can't be moitzi the tzibur. They're mechuyev min haTorah. So that's what he suggested, that kohanim are potter from the draft, and they have the same status as women, so they can't be the balkari on Shabbos Parsha Zohar when you want to read about Amon. So he writes, that's the theme of the chapter. But he says, my brother told me to leave it out because it's wrong. So we don't have the chapter. But he writes in five lines, he tells you what the whole chapter said. In the chapter that he didn't print, that he deleted, so he gave rise to this. So this was a big issue. Is that true, that you don't draft Kohanim and the army? At the time of the First World War, Kohanim in Great Britain didn't want to be drafted into the army, so he said it's a violation of their religion. They're not allowed to be Matamel and Mason. So the government had asked the chief rabbinate, the chief rabbi of England, whether you're allowed to draft Kohanim in the army. So they had to give a psak. The Besdin in London was always a Bekovedik of Besdin, all the years. So the chief rabbi spoke with the Besdin. They quoted from the Rishonim. The Rishonim talk about there's a Mordechai, who says, before, I think the Mordechai is in Gittin, although the Gemara that he's basing it on is in Kiddushin, but the Mordechai is in Gittin, that he points out that Kohanim are drafted into the army, because at the beginning of the parsha you have the din of Yifastoya. So Yifastoya is a Chiddush. Even though the girl is not Jewish, the soldier in the army hasn't been with his wife for the longest time. He has such a desire to be with a woman, so we allow him to be with the Yifastoya. Maybe be a Rishonim is even Muta ben Ochri Yusa, different opinions in the Rishonim. And then he's Megayer her Balkorcha, Ger is Balkorcha. The whole thing is a Chiddush. So the question is, the Gemara has a suffix whether Yefaster is permitted to a Jewish soldier who's a Kohen. A Kohen has an Adidisa. He's not allowed to live with a Gioris because it's a Zoyna. So maybe the Torah was only matter for Yisrael, for a Levim, for Yisrael, but there's only one Isser of Nachris, maybe for a coin, but there's an additional Isser of Zayin of a coin. Maybe there's no head to Yifastar. So the Gemara has all Machlokes is Rabbi Shmuel, the details. How do you have a coin who's drafted in the army? So the Mordechai said, you see from that Gemara that you do draft Kohanim into the army. So that's what the chief Rabbi Paskin at that time. So that's probably what Rabbi Tzalo Vilna told his brother to leave it out. That part is wrong. If they would be potter from the army, if you wouldn't draft Kohanim, they probably the Chiddush of Rabbi Shlomo Levilner would be correct. That just like the women are potter from Parsha Zohar, the Kohanim should be potter as well. But that's probably not correct. The Pashto says that you do draft Kohanim into the army. They should try to be careful not to be metamele meis. This mitzvah to wipe out Amalek, this is really a genocide. You're going to wipe out all Amalek. So the Zohar has a comment. So Rachel quoted this in one of his published essays in English. So it has a comment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, but it says, that was at the very beginning. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates different things. The first day, second day, sixth day, Sheshes Mei Briya. HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates everything. So did he remove all the Tohu Vavohu? So the Zohar says that Amalek is left over from the Tohu Vavohu. So we have an obligation to complete the Briya and wipe out Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who created the whole world, and he knows what's Tov and he knows what's Ra. And Amalek is considered the epitome of evil, the epitome of Ra in the world. So that's HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to complete the Briya that he started in Sheshes Mei Bereishis. We should wipe out Amalek. Shaul HaMelech felt uncomfortable wiping out Amalek. How can you instruct the Jewish people to practice genocide? It's terrible. So because of those feelings, the Gemara says, Kol hamarachem al ha'achzorim lebesof nasa rachmoni lebesof nasa achzor al ha'rachmonim. That because his moral principles were misguided, he thought the Rebbeinu Shlom did an avla by giving us this din to wipe out Amalek. He didn't want to kill Amalek. So because he was, his moral principles were a little off kilter, that's why later on he was an achzar on Rachmanim. If the Rebbeinu Shlom says you have to wipe out Amalek, you have to wipe out Amalek. Yeah. A few weeks ago, where Rosh Chodesh was on Shabbos, so there was a question which Haftarah to recite. Because the Takanos Chacham was, you should say the Haftarah in Yonah D'Yoma. So sometimes in Yonah D'Yoma is, today is Rosh Chodesh, they say Hashamayim Kisi, or today is Erev Rosh Chodesh, they say Macha Chodesh. And sometimes it's the 3 weeks before Tisha B'Av, so they say the Tlas Tepur Anusa. And then the 7 weeks in between Tisha B'Av and Rosh Hashanah is the Shev D'Nechemta. So you have a special kriya when Rav Shreira Goin passed away, and they appointed Rav Hai Goin, his son, as the head of the yeshiva. So the inyan of the yom was, they said a special haftarah that day. Is it haftarah, the first chapter in Yeshua, Moshe Abdi Meis, and I want you to take over the leadership of the Jewish people, because Rav Shreira Goin died, and his son Rav Hai Goin took over. You always have to have inyan of the yom. The meaning in the days of the Bali Atosis was when there would be a chosen in Shivas Yimei Amishtah, they would give him maftir. The minig is that you give an aliyah to a chosin when he shows up in shul. Shibbos Yimei HaMishnah, because of Simchas Chosin. And on Shabbos, you learn this, whatever Shabbos, whatever the parsha of Shavuot is, you learn it Yonah D'Yoma. You say the Haftarah that's over here. Which Haftarah is it? So the sauce is here. By us, it's the Haftarah of Nitzavim when they're separate. When you have Nitzav Mayelach or Rofen together, when Nitzav Mayelach are together, so then there are two Minhagim, where they say the Haftarah of the first Sedra, the second. Our practice is we say the Haftarah of the second. But this Haftarah of Nitzav, Mesosas, Bashem Kechosin, Yichayin Pe'er, Chakalot, Hadekeleho, so whenever there's a Chosin in Shul and Shiv's Mamishtah, on Shabbos they give him Haftarah and you say that Haftarah. Today it's not practiced anymore. I never saw it. But in the Ramah, he quotes it. That was the practice of the Bali Atosis. So a couple of weeks ago, when it was Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, that was the Shabbos before the Zman began. Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, there were two minhagim, which Haftarah takes precedence. So the Mechaber writes, the Shev D'Nechemta, that's more important than the Yonah D'Yoma. The Ramah says no, there are precedents. By the Ashkenazim, the practice is that Hashemayim Kisi, it ends off Hayomi Dechodesh Bechodesh Mendei Shabbos B'Shabbatoy. The Haftarah for Shabbos Rosh Chodesh takes precedence, and the one that we missed on Yosar Ra we say on Shabbos Kiseitze this Shabbos, because we don't want to miss the Shev Dinechemta, but we don't spread them out over seven Shabbos, we spread it over six. So Roni Akora appears in Yeshaya right before Aniyosa Arah. So you say both together this coming Shabbos. That's the common practice. We're learning Gittin this Zman. The whole institution of Gittin Mikedushin is based on the Pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze. Oyem losim tzachem v'yenev, ki motzu ba'ev ha'dov v'kosov v'losef v'krisim v'nosam yoda. All the dinim are based on the Pasuk in Parshas Kiseitze. Then the din of Kiddushin also. V'holcho v'hoysu v'yishacher. A lot of dinim are learned that from that Pasuk, how you're supposed to do Kiddushin. He mentioned centuries ago, in the 1600s, there was a course celebre, there was a big machlokes among the gedolim. Then a man gave a get to his wife because he didn't want it to be skuka liyavam. He loved her. The pasuk says, "V'sneihu isha acharon." The husband gives a get because he hates his wife. What if he gives the get because he loves the wife? So some of the gedolim held that such a get is not valid. So the Marsha, I think, in the end of Git, makes fun of it. There is no such thing. It doesn't make a difference what the motivation to give the get. Even if you give the get, me'avah. The Mishnahs talk about giving a get, that the woman should be p'turim and a chalitza, p'turim from chalitza. That's not correct. But because the two dinim are written in the same pasuk, kosol l'osei v'kisses, merasim v'hochol v'hoysol v'yishacher, so we treat that like a hekesh. And we say, Makesh Havai Liyitziya. There's a comparison between Havai means getting married, Kisiyen Aliyah Shdei Noshim. Kisiyen means that he's married to the two wives. Hoch Behoysa Lisha, Hoysa means that she marries. Havai means to get married. And Yitziya means V'yotza Mibesa. Yitziya means Gerishin, and Havai means Kiddushin. So Makesh Havai Liyitziya, there's a comparison between Gitna and Kiddushin. That just like one can divorce his wife with a shtar, so too he can get. The only way to divorce a wife is with a shtar. The other way is that the husband dies, the wife can remarry, but that's not Gevishin. The only kinyan that works by Gevishin is Shtar. Kesef doesn't work, she'll give back the ring. Or the Gemara has a Havamina, maybe you can do Gevishin Ayyadeh Kesef. So according to the Havamina, what would you have thought? She gives back the ring to the husband, she gives back Kesef to the husband, or the husband gives her a second ring. Hariyat Mugoresh, he gave her a ring when they got married, Hariyat Mugodeshesli. Now he gives her a second ring, Hariyat Mugoreshes Mimeni. The two Pshatim and Rashi, what the Havamina was, that there should be Gerishin Ayidei Kesed. But the Havamina is rejected. There's no such thing. The only way to do Gerishin is Ayidei Shtar. I get, that's the only way. So in Chumash, it only talks about Kiddush Biya. Kikechi Shisha Ubiola. That's Kiddush Biya. And Kiddush Kesef is Xerishabi Kicha Kicha. Kikechish. And it says, "Veikach salarsa miyaday from Maris Hamachpelah." When Avraham Avinu purchased Maris Hamachpelah from Ephron Achiti, so he bought kesef. Abba Meir shekel kesef. He bought Maris Hamachpelah. So he learned a kicha kicha, Mr. Ephron, that there's such a thing as kedusha kesef. I didn't know there's such a thing as kedusha shtar. So shtar is based on makish havayi liyitzia. Just like by get, the only kinyan that works is shtar. So to by kedusha, even though other kinyanim also work. You can have Kiddushe Kesed, you can have Kiddushe Bia, but you learn how to commit Kiddushe Shtar. The meaning today is that we do, the Rambam writes in the beginning of Hilchos Ish, the meaning is that we do Kiddushe Kesef because the Karoim in the days of the Rambam didn't believe in Kiddushe Kesef. So the Rambam writes that the Torah Shebaal Peh came, it's Medivei Sofrim, Kiddushe Kesef is Torah Shebaal Peh. Torah Shebaal Peh came up with the Chiddush of Kesef, so we want to demonstrate that we do subscribe to the Torah Shebaal Peh. Unlike the Karaites, none of them have Kiddusha Kesef. So the whole basis for Gitmei Kiddushin is today's Sedra. The whole basis for Chalitza also at the end of today's Sedra. The whole Masechus Yomam is based on the Psukim. Everything is based on the Psukim at the end of the Sedra. There is a Tosfos in Gittin where Tosfos writes that you only have sometimes a din l'chatchilim b'di'evet and dinim d'rabbanim. Let's say you cook in a treifa pot that hasn't been used for the last 24 hours. That's a cliche in a bin yomom. The lechatchila you're not allowed to cook in such a treifa pot, but yeah, but if you did, it does make the food treif because the bliya, the treif of bliya, is nice and tam levdam. So that's only a din mid the rabbanon. The lechatchila you're not allowed to cook. Whenever you have a din deraisa, they said that you never have a chilik between lechatchila and b'di'evit. That's the Tosis in Gibbon. The Tosis in the end of Nida explains it a little better. You sometimes do have in the level of the Raisa Lechatchila B'di'evit. Let's say Lechatchila, the mitzvah Bishul Imunus says have Tcheles with Lovan. And if you only have Tcheles, you only have Lovan, you only become the mitzvah partially. You get partial credit. You get less Schar and Olam Abba, you get less Leviosan. You fulfill the mitzvah Shalom Bishul Imunus. So Tosis there in Nida explains it a little better. Here they just make a statement. Lechatchila B'di'evit is a dead giveaway that it's only a din de Rabbanan. But Tosis in Nida explains in a mitzvah on the level of the Raisa there are mitzvahs and there are averus. So in mitzvahs you have a lot of times lechatchila B'di'evit. Tosis gives a mashal chalitza lechatchila the mitzvah b'shleimus is to do kriyas hapsukim. She appears in front of the Bezer and she says, "Mein yibam lochem shem liyisol layova yabmi." And he says, "Lochafatzi lekachta." And then they do the chalitza. And then she says, "Kachal yosol eshaliyev nes beisach v'nikon shmanim sabes chalutz anal." So you do the kriyas hapsukim, then you do the chalitza, and then you do the rikika. And b'di'evit we paskin the rikika is not me'akev, and the kriyas hapsukim is not me'akev. The only thing that's me'akev is the chalitza. So you do have lechatchila and b'di'evit on the level of the raisa, and tzitzis and korbanis is zerk the dam of achatas in four corners of the mizbech. B'di'evit if you zerk in one corner, you yotze b'di'evit the mitzvah shalom b'shleimus. Have a lot of dinim like that. There's a lechatchila and b'di'evit in a mitzvah to do a mitzvah b'shleimusam. Let's say when you play the ma'aser sheni, so lechatchila there's a mitzvah to be ma'aser chaimesh. If it's your own Maaseh Sheni, and b'di'evit, if you gave the Karen, you didn't give the Chaimesh, the Maaseh Sheni is Yotze L'chulin, and the Chaimesh is not Miyakev. So that's what Tosis says, in mitzvahs d'oraisa, you have a chilek between lechatchila b'di'evit. And in Iser, we said a treif of pot, ein ben yomo, min ha'tor it's mutter to cook in the pot, het the gomer, cook in the treif of pot, after it's ein ben yomo. In the Rabbanan, it's also lechatchila, but it's mutter b'di'evit. So when it comes to a matir, whether you have to kasher the pot, you don't say a bracha when you kasher a treif of pot, you're not fulfilling a mitzvah, it's a matir. So when you come to an issue of isa v'heter, so then, if you have a din l'chatchila b'di'evit, that's a dead giveaway that it's only a din m'dirabon. The no l'chatchila and a matir. That's what Tosis discusses. Let's say a person is tovel in a mikveh. So it does make sense to have a lechatchila b'di'evit. Tefillah and a mitzvah is a matir. If it's mutter b'di'evit, it's mutter lechatchila. There are lechatchilas and tefillah and mikra. That's all in the rabban. But speaking about the pasuk by tcheles and tzitzis, this summer someone gave me a book that this young fellow Henkin, who was a great grandson of Rabbi Henkin, he used to be in New York. He used to be the big pasuk in New York. So he was killed by a terrorist a few years ago. He and his wife were both murdered, and he left a whole family of children, Nebuch, Yisayman, no father, no mother. So he was a very promising Talmud Chacham. So he had a lot of Divrei Torah on a computer. So they broke into his computer, and they printed what he had in Hebrew, and they translated into English. So this fellow, he had the book in English, he read the whole book, and he gave it to me. So I looked at it, I didn't... The fellow who was killed, Henkin, was a promising young Talmud Chacham, but these essays were not so special. So in one of the essays there, he quotes that his father told him in the name of his grandfather, Rabbi Henkin, so a wild chiddush, that in today's seder says, "Gedilin tasalacha, alarba kamfus ksuzcha shetachasibo." You have to put tzitzis in the four-corner garment, in each one of the four corners. When it says, "When else not tzitzis akona psil treilas," and the end of Parshas Shlach, when you have the mitzvah of tzitzis, it says tcheles, it doesn't say on the four corners. So his grandfather said, he quotes the name Rav Henkin, that you only have to put tcheles on one of the four corners. Rabbi Willig, I think, was learning Hilchas Tzitzis this summer, so I mentioned it to him. He said, "I never heard of that. I never heard of that either." He said, "He read all the Rishon. Nobody says that. Wild idea." Rav Henkin, he quoted a lot of strange things in Rav Henkin. thinking had a position. We don't follow this one either. That the din is that you only do a bris on Shabbos if the baby was born naturally. If it was a cesarean delivery, then the bris milah is not derech Shabbos. That's a din of the Gemara. So cesarean means, let's say it's not a cesarean. Let's say that today it's not so uncommon. There's a difficult delivery, so the doctor will cut on both sides of the woman's body, then he'll stick his hands in and pick out the baby. So that has the same din as a yotzei doifen. Whenever the baby didn't push its way out naturally, the doctor took it out. Whether he took it out over here, he took it out from the rechem. Has the same din as yotzei doifen. So Rav Henkin had a position, if they induce labor by injecting chemical into the woman's bloodstream, that's called yotzei doifen. Also, the bris is not derech Shabbos. I don't think that's the accepted opinion. We assume after they injected the chemical, then the rechem pushes out. Then the rechem does push out the baby. I don't think that's the accepted opinion. They used to have that in the old madrich that the Yosei had. They had someone put together some piskei halacha for the rabbanim. So they put in that psak from Rav Henkin. I think now they left it out. I don't think that people follow that. So Taisus points out there we have yibum, chalitza, kiddushin, gerushin, everything in this week's sedra. Mises habal, everything in this week's sedra. So Taisus points out at the end of Nida that chalitza is a mitzvah. That's why it's possible to have dinim lechatchila, the kriyas apsukim, and the rikika, which is not me'akev. Mikar adin, there are different opinions in the Tanoim. We paskin, the only thing that's me'akev is the chalitza, the kriyas apsukim and the rikika are both not me'akev. But lechatchila you need it, so that's because chalitza is a mitzvah. That's a further machlokes in the achrayim in Shulchan Aruch, the Shmua with the pischei tshuva. They have a machlokes achrayim. Is the mitzvah of chalitza only a mitzvah if the woman is interested in remarrying, or even if she's not interested in remarrying? Rabbi Zalcharif has a collection of tshuvas. The first tshuva is that you do chalitza even if the woman is not interested in remarrying. So he says yes, because Taisa said that it's a mitzvah. That doesn't fully prove the point. It could be it's only a mitzvah if she's interested in remarrying. Not just remarrying, it could be it's not a mitzvah, but that's the way he proves it. A lot of times a woman needs chalitza. She's 95 years old. There was a woman here in New York. They had never had any children, so they adopted children. So then the husband died at the age of 95. So one of the sons had smicha from RJJ. He was a learned fellow. So he told his stepmother that she has to have chalitza. Said, what are you talking about? I have children. She raised him. She raised two boys. And they have grandchildren and everything. Yeah, but they weren't her children. They weren't her children. Her husband never had any children. She does need chalitza. Just because you adopt it, it doesn't help. But she didn't want to do chalitza. She wasn't interested in remarrying anyway. So it's a question whether he really needed chalitza. It's a difficult pasuk, the pasuk that says, if a man divorced his wife, and then she went and she married someone else, and then the second husband either died or divorced her, the first husband is not permitted to remarry her. What do those three words mean? So the Gemara quotes a Tana, the Gemara in Yevam is Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis, quotes a Tana. I don't know where else he's quoted. You got to look in the Svarim. Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur, how often do you have his name mentioned? Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur says that the only time, let's say if a man divorced his wife and she was mezana with someone, then the husband is permitted to remarry her. Only if she married someone else, after the first husband she married someone else, and then the second husband died or got divorced, then she's not allowed to remarry. Machse gerushasa, after she married someone else. But if she didn't marry someone else in between, then there's no issur machse gerushasa. So one Tana, this Rabbi Yossi ben Kippur says, only if the second husband married her and he had erisin and nisuin. Only if she was in a sua, she had beer with the second husband. But if she only had erisin, she wasn't nisus to the second husband, then the din doesn't apply. We don't accept that opinion. We hold even a machzik rishasim in her erisin. is also an Issa Deraisa. So what do the words mean, Achra Shehu Tamo? Achra Shehu Tamo means because she was Mizana by the first husband. That's how the Pasuk says. Ki Ikach Ish Isha Chadasha. How does it say? Ki Motzabo Erbaz Dover. Dover Dover mi Mom. Motzabo Erbaz Dover means you have two Eidim that testify to she was Insa. She's a Soita Vadai. So then the first husband had to divorce her. So then she goes, she marries another husband. The second husband dies or divorces her. Because she was mizane, v'nitma. And the parshas soita and the chumish and parshas nasa says v'nitma three times. That's the expression that's used by the eishes ish zinsa. Achri asher tama is a loisa ese. Usually we say v'nitma is an iser ese. If a woman is only a soita sofek, so the husband is not allowed to live with his wife if there was kinya stira. Husband is not allowed to live with his wife, but if he does, he doesn't get malka. It's only an Isra Esei, minitma, 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 echel abal, echel abal, echel truma. But if she's a soita vadai, if you ascertain with Edim, kimotza eras dover, then lo yuchel, then it's a lav. That's the gemon yivom, is dafir alaf on the base. Then you have, not only do you have an Isra Esei, minitma, you have an Isra lav, and he gets malkas for that. In the beginning of the Sedra, you have the din of Bechor gets Pishnayim. Just this week, every Tuesday night, I give a shiur to one group of Balabatim. And just this week, we started learning next to the last Perik in Bechor, it's Perik Yesh Bechor. So it talks about the difference between a Bechor for Pidyon Adem purposes and the Bechor for Pishnayim. Let's say, a person is married, he has five children, then his wife dies and he marries another girl who was never married before. So he has another firstborn boy. He did a pidyon ben by the first wife. The first child she had was a boy, did a pidyon ben. Now his second wife, the first child she has is also a boy. So the father has pidyon ben twice, on the first baby from the first wife, first baby from the second wife. But the first baby from the second wife is a p'chor l'koyin, but it's not a p'chor l'pishnayim. Pishnayim depends on Reshus Ono, the first child of the father. That depends on the father, Reshus Ono. But the Pidyon Aben for the coin depends on the mother, on Peter Echem. Is it the first child that the mother has? And the Mishnah points this out, and there's a whole perik. But the din of Pidyon Aben. So that's the din of Pishnayim in the Parsha. The Parsha presents it, Kisiyen Ali Yishtei Nashim Achas Ahuvah V'Achas Nuvah. And the Bechor is born to this Nuwa, so there would have been a Havamina that the father doesn't want to give the Pishnayim to this Nuwa, so he's not allowed to do that. Why should it be a Havamina? Just because he doesn't have Shalom Bayis with the mother, and therefore the child, why should the child lose out the Pishnayim? Because why did the Chumash even have to tell us to reject the Havamina? What kind of a stupid Havamina is that? Because she's Nuwa. So the Gemara says, no. He married a Isha Hasura Loi. Huva means it was a permissible marriage, and Snur means it was prohibited marriage. A Kohen married a Grusha. Kohen is married to two wives. One wife is Mutaris Lakuna, one wife Asura Lakuna. And the Bechor was born to the wife who's Asura. That's a prohibited marriage. So one might have thought that Dina Bechor getting Pishnaim doesn't apply. She's Snur Benisoel. Kamashmal and the Chumash at the Kiddushin. Ischal, because says kisiyen alish. Havaya means that you're married, kiddusha natofsin. The Gemara said, you see from this pasuk kisiyen alish, that kiddusha natofsin and anisha hasnua benisuel, even though it's a forbidden marriage. And I would have thought that the Bechor shouldn't be entitled to Pishnayim. He said, Gmashmalan, no, the kiddusha natofsin, and the Bechor is entitled to Pishnayim. And what would happen, Take, if a boy has an affair with his sister? And they give birth to a baby that's a mamzer. Or a man has an affair with an eshesish, and they have a baby, and the baby is a mamzer. And it's there's ein kiddushin tops and b'chayv yikrisis. Eshesish and baal achos, baal ima, baal bito, achasishtoi. All of the arise where there's an isekor ein kiddushin tops. So what's taka the din? The chumash says one might have mistakenly thought that if she snur ben isoer, there's no din of pishnayim. Kamashmulan, that there still is a din of Pishnayim. But the Chumash is only talking about Chayv Yilavin, because it says Kiseyena. Kisyanin proves, indicates that the Kiddushan are Tovsin, Mechavi Lamed. But Mechavi Krisis, Kiddushan are not Tovsin. So maybe if it's a Chavi Krisis and the Vlad is a Mamzer, maybe Taka doesn't get Pish 9. So there is such an opinion like that in Shulchan Aruch. They quote, one of the Rishonim has the Shilti Gibor and quotes such an opinion. But that's not the accepted opinion. Even though the Pasuk is talking only about Chavi Lavin, and there would have been room to say that if it's Chavi Krisis, it's then Kedushin Tovsin, and the Vlad will be a Mamzer, there would have been room to say that the Pchor doesn't get Pishnayim. We don't accept that. I think the Tosfos Rid, usually the Shilti Gibor on the side of the Rif, quotes things from the Riyaz. The Riyaz is a Rosh HaTevis. Sometimes the Rosh HaTevis, Ben Yitzchak Orzorua was from the later Balei HaTosfos. He was the Rebbe of the Maram Brutmerk, he was the Rebbe of the Rosh and the Mordechai and so on. And then there was another Riyaz, Rabbeinu Yeshaya Achran Zal. The Shachli over there points out the Rosh HaTevis Riyaz sometimes refers to Rabbeinu Yitzchak Orzorua. He was from the Balei HaTosfos. Sometimes he refers to Rabbeinu Yeshaya Achran. That was the grandson of the Tosfos Rid. The Tosfos Rid was Rabbeinu Yeshaya HaRishon, and the Riyaz was the grandson of Rabbeinu Yeshaya Achran. They were from Italy. They always have something else to say. The Italian Rishonim always have some other sheet, a different girsa. The Riyaz, the Tosfos Rid, he said he makes suggestions to cross out 10 lines in the Gemara. Wild suggestions. That was something unusual. So this sheet of the Riyaz quoted by the Shilti Gibor. Shilti Gibor on the side of the Rif usually quotes the Riyaz. He's the one who has this idea that if it's Taka Chaybi Krisis and Ein Kedushin Dobson, then the Pchor will be a Mamzet, then Taka doesn't get Pishna. How do they know that Kiddushan are not Tovsin? How do they know when Kiddushan are Tovsin, when Kiddushan are not Tovsin? Here you have a Pasuk, the Gemara, and Kiddushan quotes the Pasuk. Kisiyena liish. Kisiyena means Havai, Tvisas Kiddushan. Kiddushan are Tovsin. And it says, Achasnua, even though she's Snua Benisua, the Kiddushan are Tovsin. Then you have other Pesukim that says, Loikach ish, and says she's up. Loikach means Loyeheba. Loyeheba kicha. Kiddushan are not Tovsin. So how did the Tanaim know where the Kedushan are Tovsin, where the Kedushan are not Tovsin? So that was a big machlokes, a rekiva and a chacham. So we paskin like Shimon HaTimoni or Shimon HaTimni, however you pronounce his name. I think Rashi says that it's not Teiman. He wasn't from Teiman. He was from Timnos, from Eretz Yisrael. So we paskin like Shimon HaTimni, in Yevamos that ain kedusha tovsin b'chayvi krisis, but b'chayvi lavin kedusha not tovsin. The Rebbe Kiva holds even chayvi lavin is ain kedusha tovsin, but he's stuck with this pasuk says kisiyen aliyish, and it says achas snua the kedusha not tovsin b'isha snua. So which chayvi lavin are kedusha tovsin? So there are three different versions within Rebbe Akiva. He has to agree that sometimes kedusha not tovsin b'chayvi lavin. If a man marries mamzeres, that's chayv lavin. Rabbi Kiva was saying kedushin tovsin. Gemara says he was outvoted. Rabbi Kiva was outvoted. That's the lashon of Gemara. Bo unitzaveach al Akiva ben Yosef. Let's all join together and scream at Rabbi Kiva. Bo unitzaveach al Akiva ben Yosef. That he's making chayv lavin. The Vlad is going to be a mamzer because he holds Ein Kedushin Tovsin. What's the Lashon Bo and it's Aver? They quote from the Vilna Gaon, the line, what are the Kavon of the Tanakh? Because they felt that usually Halachic Rabbi Akiva Mechaveiro, Valo Mechaveiro, whenever Rabbi Akiva disagrees with one or the Tanakh, so we usually pass on like Rabbi Akiva. But whenever he disagrees with the majority, so that we don't pass on like Rabbi Akiva. So that's why the Tanakh said, Bo and it's Aver, let's all join together and scream at Rabbi Akiva, so we won't paskin like him. When he disagrees with the rabbim, so you don't paskin like Rabbi. That's what they say from the Vilna Gaon. Yeah. So you have a pasuk in Chumash that says, Kiseyena liish. And it says, Achasnua, snua b'nisa, prohibited marriage and the Kiddush and Atofsin. So Rabbi Akiva has the three versions within Rabbi Akiva. Different Tanaim have different versions within Rabbi Akiva. When does he agree that it's that Kiddush and Atofsin? You have to have a case where it's Kiddush and Atofsin. The one opinion is that Isuri Kahuna, a kohen marries a grusha, a kohen gadol marries an almana, that's not Yisar Shava Bakol, so then Kiddush and Atopsi. There are different opinions. The most extreme opinion is that there's only one rare case where Rabbi Akiva will agree that Kiddush and Atopsi, that's a kohen gadol marries a Ba'ula. It's not a lab, it's only an Isar Esay. Well, Isha Bibsuleo Yikach. If the kohen gadol marries a girl who's a Ba'ula, he's only in violation of an Esay. So there's one version that that's the one and only case that Rabbi Akiva would say that Kiddush and Atopsi. So according to that version, the Pasuk in Chumash Kisei Anli Ishtei Noshim is talking about such a Kisei Anli. Who's the Ish? The kohen gadol. And Shtei Noshim, the Isha, Hasnua ben Isuel, is only the Ba'ula. One case. That's what the Chumash is talking about. It doesn't sound like it in the Chumash. It doesn't sound like it at all. So the Gemara has an expression. After you work out the din, you have a Pasuk that's problematic. The Pasuk pushes itself in the corner, and you got no choice. The Pasuk is only talking about Kisei. The Ish is only one person in the whole wide world, a kohen gadol. And he's married to the Snua, is a Ba'ula. Very Durchik Pshat, but that's according to one Tana. That's how Rabbi Akiva learns Pshat in the Pasuk. The Gemara has such a lashon. Leave the Pasuk alone, it pushed itself in the corner, and that's the way you have to learn Pshat in the Pasuk. This institution that Kisien Elishtei Noshim, that sometimes Kiddushin Atovsin, the Isha Hasnua, Snua bin Isuea, Chabilavin, or whatever you're going to, we pass Kachat, all the Chabilavin Kiddushin Atovsin, but Bechabikris is Kiddushin Anatovsin. So this was the basis, this was the Gemara in the beginning of Tmura, points out this Pasuk is the basis of the Machloikis Abai V'Rove. In the beginning of Tmura, the Gemara has a machlokes Abai v'Rava. Kol milsa dam rachmana loisabed yavid mahani or yavid lo mahani. Whenever the Torah says you're not allowed to do something, so if the Torah doesn't give you the right to do it, so and you express that, maybe you have no right to express that, and you can't bring it barach alois. So that's a machlokes Abai v'Rava. So by Tmura, the Torah says lo yaklifenu v'lo yamaroso. You're not allowed to declare Harezu Tachazu. The Torah says that it is Chal. The Torah says, even though you violated an Issa by making a declaration, Harezu Tachazu, but it says, Vayuhus Marasi Yakadish, the old one doesn't lose its, the original carbon does not lose its Kedusha, but the new one does receive Kedusha. So that's the case, the Yavid Mahani. He made a Chalois over there. What's a din in a, that's a pasuk. What's a din in a normal case? So the normal case, you're presented with this stira. Bachabi kriyse then kiddushin tovsin. Bachabi lavin kiddushin not tovsin. The which is the rule and which is the exception to the rule? Is the rule milsa damachamad alas abed yabed loy mahani? That's the rule, and the chabi lavin is the exception to the rule. But in other cases, the rule should have been yabed loy mahani. Or you say no, the rule is like bachabi lavin. It does. It does bring about a chalos. If it wouldn't bring about a chalos, there wouldn't have been an avera. There wouldn't be an isa. But that's a famous dispute in the Gemara. Machlokes Abai v'Ravin. Milsa darachmana le'savid. Yavid mahani. Yavid lo mahani. And Rabbi Chana Basma points out it's a Gemara in the beginning of the Gemara. It's based on the dichotomy, the difference between chayvi lavin and chayvi krisis. So which is the rule, which is the exception to the rule? A lot of times there are stiras between the Gemaras. The Gemara talks about a similar case in different Masechta. Here it says Chayv, here it says Pot, here it says Pasal, here it says Kosher. So the Rishonim work on it. Which is the rule and which is the exception to those? A lot of times it will be a Machlokes. Somehow that's the rule and that's the exception. Somehow that's the rule and that's the exception. Got to work on whenever there's a hit, there's a stir between Chavi Lab and Chavi Krisa. So that's Machloikas Abai v'Rova, which is the rule, which is the exception to the rule. The Torah in this week said in Kiseitzi La Mochama has a few other dinim about Mochama. Has one of the dinim of Mochama about Kedusha Samachna. Hoya Machanecha Kodosh. The Machna has to be clean, You shouldn't have erva, you shouldn't have tzoya, you shouldn't have meraglayim, because the Gemara says that these dinim apply if you want to learn and you want to daven. There's a din of kedusha samachne, but in the pasuk it's not talking about learning and davening. Alpi pashta, not talking about learning and davening. So what do you need kedusha samachne for? So the Netziv has a very imaginative suggestion. He quotes many Gemaras that all Melchamas, Chere Bala Olam, Abitl Torah, says in Pirkei Avos. The Umas Olam say that the Jews are at fault for everything that goes wrong in the world. The Gemara says like that. Ein Puranas Bala Olam, El Bishul Yisrael. Whenever there's a Muhammad, Vietnam, Cambodia, wherever, in South Africa, it's all the fault of the Jews. And it's because of Bittul Torah. We're supposed to be Osik in Mechamta Shal Torah. And we're not Osik in Mechamta Shal Torah, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Muhammad to the world. So first we'll bring the Muhammad far away from the Jews. We should realize that we have to be Osik in Mechamta Shal Torah. If we don't take the hint that he's going to bring the Muhammad closer to us, we still don't take the hint that he's going to cause the Muhammad to apply to the Jews. We're supposed to take the hint. So the Netziv quotes a lot of Maamar Mekaymus about this. There's a Gemara in one of the many Maamar Mekaymus in Makkos. Amdasai Raglein b'Sharayach Yerushalayim. So the Gemara has an interpretation. Amdasai Raglein b'Malchama. The Jewish army was successful in the battle because b'Sharayach Yerushalayim. Because of Shiorim HaMetzionim b'Halacha. Because the yeshivas in Yerushalayim where they're learning Torah. So that's why the Jewish army is winning the war. It's one of the many Maamar Mekaymus that the Netziv quotes. The Gemara said, "B'meches kiyo haMelech, he forced everyone to learn Torah. How do you have the right to force everybody to learn Torah? Because he was afraid of a war with the enemy, and the only way to win the war is by having everybody learn Torah. So it was part of the war efforts. He had the right to force everybody to learn Torah." The Gemara said, "But midon bad Be'er Sheva, all the adults, all the children, everybody knew all the dinim of Tumah v'Tara. Now, what do you have the right to force them to learn everything? Because it was a part of the war effort." They have to learn in order to win the war. So the Netziv has this perhaps unreasonable suggestion that they always had a battalion of soldiers learning at the front. They were learning Torah in order to win the war. The Gemara said, "B'sharach Yerushalayim." The yeshivas are in Yerushalayim because in the schus that they're learning Torah, the soldiers at the front are winning the battle. So the Netziv suggests maybe there was a battalion who were learning at the front. Instead of shooting, they were learning. And the Torah said you have to be careful for erva and soya, meirag lion, because of the soldiers who are learning Torah. But that's not the pashim. The whole Hagdamah that he gives is good. He shows that all Mulcham in the world is because of Bittul Torah. Cherev bala olam al Bittul Torah, Mishnah and Pirkei Avos. And he quotes more sources, okay, Chizkiyahu HaMelech, forced everybody to learn, part of the war effort. Everything else he said is good. But the punchline, he says, that they had at the front, had people learning. That's how they're going to win the war. That's a little unreasonable. Some of the soldiers do learn in the middle of the war. Some of them when it's quiet, there's no fighting. So some of them bring Gemaras with them, and they do learn at the front. But the Pashim Shat and the Pasuk is different. It says, Ki Hashem alakech nesalach b'kerah machanecha lahatzilecha v'losis alecha b'yodecha. It says why. It says you have to be careful because the Muhammad itself has a Dovish of Yigdusha. The Shekhinah will be there. The Shekhinah will be there to help you win the war. And if there will be Erva, V'lo Yerbucha Erva's Dovah V'shov Me'acharecha, if there will be Erva, Tzaya, Me'raglan, these kind of things, the Shekhinah will leave. So there is a discussion in the Yerushalmi, the end of the first parak in Eruvin, the last Mishnah, the first parak in Eruvin has it in Avod Dvarim Patru Bamachana. When you have a Jewish army base and a Jewish army, not there was always a Jewish brigade in the British army years ago. That's not the Jewish army. If you have a Jewish army sponsored by the Jewish government in Eretz, and even if the Queen of England is a descendant from the Malchus Beis David, which they claim, but she's not the queen over Eretz Yisrael. So her army is not the Jewish army. You have a Jewish army sponsored by the Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, then it has a din of Machne Yisrael. So the Mishnah has, there are four kulas that the Tanaim introduced, Abadvar and Patra B'machne. So Rabbeinu Chananel on the side of the page there, quotes a machlokes in the Yerushalmi there, the end of the first parak in Erevin, How many soldiers do you have to have on the base that should have the status of a machane? You have three soldiers, it's called a machane. So you have to be careful for Kedushas a machane, by machanech HaKadosh. So the Yerushalmi has machlekes. So one opinion is you have to have 1,000, because by Melchemes Midyan, it says they took Elef Lamata, they took 1,000 soldiers from each shade. The next opinion, no, Shnei Masa Elef Chalutzei Tzavah. They had 12,000 altogether. So you have to have 12,000 soldiers that should have the status of a machne. Chazanish writes, he thinks that we don't accept either of those opinions. He thinks we accept the third opinion. I think he has a Magi Mishnah like that. Third opinion is a minion of 10 Jews. If you have 10 soldiers, called Be'asar, Shchin Tashari. If you have 10 Jewish people, the Shchin will be there. That's what it says, Ki Hashem Alekech, B'salah, B'karech, Machanech, La'atzi Lecho, Yeah, but if you have 10 Jews, they'll be called the Asor Shchin Tashari. So Rav Soloveitchik used to have a line that he would say every so often. He used to say in Yiddish, it was more humorous. 10 Jews are sitting reading the Morgen Journal. They're reading the New York Times. And the Shchin is going to be there just because they're reading the newspaper. He said, no, if you have 10 Jews, they're saying a Dovish Abigdusha. Then it's going to be Shchin is going to be there. So what's the Dovish Abigdusha over here? If they're fighting, the Jewish army is fighting a justified war. If it's not justified, not Shechina is not going to be there. But if they're fighting a justified war to defend Eretz Yisrael, to defend the Jewish nation, so then the Shechina promises they'll be there if you'll have Asara. So the Chazanish writes, he thinks it's a din like Dovish Abigdusha. You can only be Mitzarif, let's say, if you have an Apikoros. So there's a Chuvus HaRama. Apikoros is not Mitzarif to a minion. When you need a minion for Dovish Abigdusha, for invention, something, you have to have Asar Misol who are not Apikoros. So he said, if you have soldiers in the army who are non-believers, they're not Mitzarif. But if you have 10 Jewish soldiers, they can be Mitzarif to a minion. This is a din of a minion, a Dovish Abigdusha. I remember when Rabbi Gorin used to be the chief chaplain of the army, there was a Sinai campaign before all of you were born. Years ago, there was a Sinai campaign that the Jewish army was fighting in the Sinai, and they didn't notify the British before they went to battle. So the British were angry at them, so they stopped supporting Israel. And as soon as they stopped supporting Israel, Great Britain used to be one of the world powers. And now it's nothing. Great Britain is nothing. So the Rabbanim Naitzah said they only were a great power because they were supporting Medina Sassol. And when they stopped supporting after the Sinai campaign, they were angry why the Israeli government didn't notify them in advance what they're going to do. So they stopped supporting. So that's what some of the Rabbanim Naitzah say. The Israeli government shouldn't be concerned about what the American government is going to say. If they won't support Israel, they won't be a world power anymore. Just like England lost its status. France also used to be a world power. Also, they stopped supporting the Venus and so on, so they're no longer a world power. So I remember when Rabbi Gorin was the chief chaplain, and after the Sinai campaign, it was such a victory, it was euphoria then, like after Mechemet Shesh Tamim, years later. So he came to America, he delivered a shir in the yeshiva in Rabbi Soloveitchik's classroom. Rabbi Soloveitchik didn't like the shir, he disagreed, he said he's wrong. Then he said the next day, he didn't want to argue too much the first day. He did argue with him, and he was there. The next day, he wasn't there. But he said everything he said was wrong, and he explained why he thought it was wrong. He convinced us. So the Chazanish said also, Rabbi Gorin was assuming that during the 7 years of Gaula Babel, the Jewish people lost the ownership of Eretz Yisrael. And when they came back in the beginning of Bai Sheni, they had the Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael with Chazoke, the Rambam coins in Yisrael, Chazoke. So Rabbi Zalman Meltzer and Evan also learned Chazaka means Kinya Chazaka. They had to reacquire ownership of Eretz. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, you're not allowed to say that. We never lost the ownership of Eretz. And the Chazanish writes like that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Eretz to Avraham Avinu. He made a Kinyan. He walked around the borders. Kumisal Havaras L'Orkel Rach B'Kilchoy Tinenu. He was Koine, Eretz Yisrael. Then HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a bris with Avraham, made a bris with Yitzchak, made a bris with Yankov. The Eretz Yisrael will belong to the Jewish people. What did he need a bris for? He already acquired ownership by walking around the borders. That was the Kinyan Chazaka. So the Chazanish writes in the Sefer HaShirim, the bris was the Jewish people will never lose their ownership, despite the fact that usually there's an institution, there's an international institution, the Kibbutz Melchama. when one country wages war against the other, the country who wins the war acquires ownership of all of the property. So Eretz Yisrael is the one thing that's not included in the institution of Kibbutz Mochama. Once Avraham Avinu acquired ownership, it always belongs to the Jewish people. It's an exception to the rule of Kibbutz Mochama. That's what Rabbi Soloveitchik said. That's the first Rashi and Chumash. First Rashi and Chumash quotes Amar Rabbi Yitzchok, quotes from the Medrash. What does the Torah start from Bereshit? What do you need all this for? Start from Achodesh Alachem, the first mitzvah that was given to the Jewish people. So, because the Rebbe Shalom knows the Umas Olam are going to be complaining, listem atem, you gazlonim, you stole Eretz Yisrael from us. So Rabbi Soloveitchik, whenever he used to speak in public, he used to speak about that Rashi Alan, he said, I think I read that yesterday in the New York Times. The Arabs said, we stole Eretz Yisrael from us. Listem atem. They still say listem atem. Why do they say listem? Because they conquered Eretz Yisrael, they took it away from the Jewish people. But Eretz Yisrael is the one thing that's an exception to the rule. It's not subject to the principle of Kibbutz Mochama. He said, we don't have to give a debt of, we don't owe a debt of gratitude to the British for giving us Eretz Yisrael. It never belonged to them. We never lost our ownership of Eretz Yisrael. All the years, 7 years ago, this blah, blah, always belonged to the Jewish people. Either Rama calls it Chazoke. So he said he didn't agree with Rabbi Sizalman. Rabbi Gorin's whole Shia was based on the assumption, like Rabbi Sizalman, that when the Rambam says, was accomplished through Chazoke, it means Kinya Chazok. Kinya Chazok means we lost our ownership during the 7 years of those. Rav Soloveitchik said it's not true. We never lost our ownership. It always belonged to the Jewish people. We don't owe a debt of gratitude to the British. They didn't give us anything. It never belonged to them. It always belonged to them. It was big zayla by them. We never lost our ownership. Anyway, so I remember when Rabbi Gorin came to America, he gave a share of Rav Soloveitchik's class. And then he was such a, he was a sparkling speaker. He was very, very interesting speaker, very interesting. Even though Rabbi Soloveitchik said it's all wrong in Halacha, but it was a very entertaining speaker. So then he spoke on the fourth floor in the old building in the classroom that has like a theater where the seats are go higher in the old building. Then he spoke in the Bronx in Rabbi Gorelick Shul. So I heard him speak a lot of that. Very fascinating speaker. They don't always accept the Shita's Halacha L'maisa, but he was a Balkishan. He was quite a Balkishan. So that's one of the things that he brought out. The Jewish army is considered a Davish of Kedusha. The Shechina is there. If you have 10 Jewish people, it's a fighting Mohammed Hashem is a Davish of Kedusha, and the Shechina will be there. Kol Be'asar Shechin Tashari. The Torah has a din of Kvura. Pasuk says, "Ki'il yish chayt mishpat mavus v'humas." That's the beginning with the second aliyah. Parshas Ki Seitzin. The original pasuk of Kvura only says, "Kavitik v'ere b'yamahu." Only says by harugi bezin. It doesn't say by a normal person dies a natural death. Doesn't say. So there's a machlekes hatanoim. It says kavitik v'ere kefalosh. So there's an old machlekes hatanoim. When you have lushanis kfulim in the chumash, do you darshan lushanis kfulim or not? Rabbi Kiva holds lo dibur Torah k'dushan b'riyad. The Torah was not dictated by Kodesh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu in a slang style. Every word in the Chumash has a meaning. When you have a kefal lashon, you have to darshan something. So according to the opinion that the lo dibur Torah k'dushan b'riyad, so kovet dibureinu is marbe, even meisal mitosoi, a person dies naturally. There's a chiyuv kvura min haTorah. That's how the Rambam paskens. And then there was another Tana who was two brises in Sanhedrin, one after the other. So the Lecha Mishnah points out the two brises are exactly word for word the same thing. What are the Gemara called two brises are the same? That both brises say the same thing, that there's a mitzvah kvura even by Shar Beisim, not only by Harugi Beisim. But one brise says Minayin, that a person that died naturally is also Dinah Kvura. The other brise says Remez Lekvura Melatama. Remez usually means that it's a Din Derabbanan. You have rare cases where remez means a din deraisa, but usually remez leidim zayimim shaloikim min haTorah. That's min haTorah, even though it says remez. The Ramban points that out. That the Ramban and the Sefer HaMitzvah points out that over there remez means a din min haTorah, but usually remez means the Rabbanan. So the Lecha Mishnah points out this is a machlekes hatanan, whether he darshan l'shan is kfum. So according to one Tana, the mitzvah kfura b'asham meisim is only mid the Rabbanan. But the Rambam accepts we paskan lo dibur Torah l'shan many of them. So we do darshan l'shan is kfum. When it says hanik tanik, Amos Yumos, or whatever, Dosin Tite, whatever, have a Keifa Loshen. You darshan something. So you're Kabbatik Verim, you darshan Shar Mesim as well. Well, we pointed out the other day, I think, that by Haruge Bezin, there is something special. There is a unique mitzvah that only applies to Haruge Bezin, namely, that there's a din, the Sayef Senerag boy, and the Suda Shenechvak Bo, you have to bury also with him. If another person was shot to death, you don't have to bury the gun that he was shot with the mace. But by Haruge Bezin, that's part of the mitzvah. Kavitik Berenu, you have to bury the Suder and the Saib Shenerag boy. Toich Dal Ramas. Dal Ramas around the mace is called Tvisas HaKever. Two readings in the Mishnah with the Tvisas HaKever with the Yura, Tvisas HaKever with above. But the din is Dal Ramas around the Kever is Tvisas HaKever. And that seems to be a real institution there, I said, Tvisas HaKever. So you have to bury the Suder Shenechvak boy or the Saib Shenerag boy. You have to bury it in the Tvisas HaKever. Then the Mishnah says that the Haruge Bezdin, even though Enkov inside the gates are Rosha, but by Haruge Bezdin, you only have two Batik Voris. One for Niskolim and Nisrof, and one for Narogim and Achnokim. Even though they have Eris, are not the same level. Skil is Mohammed and Sreif is Sreif is Mohammed and Saif and so on. But still, Gemara says, Hilchus HaGmirilah, that's Halacha. You have two Batik Voris, one for the Niskolim and Nisrofim, and one for Nerogim and Achnokim, even though you know they're in violation of Ein Kov and Tzadikei Tzor Rosha. No one is a Tzadikei. One is a Rosh Hacham and one is a Rosh Hakal. But that's the halacha. You have to bury them together. It's a Yotzim, it's a special din, a Yotzim and a Klal. The Klal usually is not allowed to bury a Rosh Hacham next to a Rosh Hakal. And here you have an exception to the rule. So you see, it's a special mitzvah. Kvuras Haruge Bezin has different dinim. We mentioned the other day that the Gemara says, "Ein amikri yotze midei pshuto." That pshuto shel mikra is always binding, in addition to all the drushas of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So in this week's Sedra, you have the one and only pasuk, which is amikri yotze midei pshuto. Vaya pchor shetelet, yakam shemach v'ameis v'lei mochish mo b'Yisrael. So the Gemara says that pasuk, the simple translation of the word, sounds like the first baby who's born after you do yibum. You should name after the one who died, the brother who died. So the Gemara says there is no such din. Hamikra yetzim idei pshuta. There's one and only pasuk in the whole Chumash that Hamikra is yetzim idei pshuta. We mentioned quite a few times so far in learning the Gemara in the beginning of Yevamos on Daf Hei, that the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim and a fit psak halacha and a maskana we pask and yoni darshan smuchim in Mishneh Torah. Hekish means you have two dinim written in the same pasuk, but if you have two psukim next to each other, do you assume that there must be a connection between the two? That's called smuchim. So we pass on halacha only in Chumash Dvarim, because Chumash Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu, right before he dies, wants to transmit the whole style of drushas of Torah Shebaal Peh. The Gemara says the Ribbono Shel taught Moshe Rabbeinu how to darshan psukim, and he told him, you don't have to teach this to Bnei Yisrael. You have a right to keep this only for your children. Your descendants will be the ones who will pass on all the shailas. They'll know how to darshan psukim. Moshe Rabbeinu was a tovayin. He was a kind-hearted fellow. And he decided to share it with all of Klal Yisrael. Why should he hoard it for himself? So he transmitted it to everybody else. So when did he transmit it? The Gemara doesn't say when did he. That's a Gemara in Nidor and Daf Lamed Ches. When did he transmit it? So then it's Siv writes, this is right before he died, the last month before he died. Ba'er heitei, it says, the beginning. Hoel Moshe Be'eres HaTerazos Leimor. Be'eres HaTer is transmitting the whole, all the drushes, the whole star of Darshan Ipsukim to Torah Shabbat Peh. So because Chumash Dvarim is all Moshe Rabbeinu's last drusha, the last month from Rosh Chodesh Shvat till Zayin Adar, till he died, every day he would say a din, and then he would, by association, that would remind him of another din, that would remind him of another din. So that's why in Dvarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, write it down in the same order that you delivered the Shia. So in Chumash Dvarim, we assume that there's a connection, there's a link between one pasuk and the other. So there are many famous dinim that we darshan over here. So take, for example, the Chumash says, V'hayon bid HaKaisa Rosha. So the Bezin establishes that someone is a Rasha, they should give him Malkus. Who is a Rasha? What kind of a Rasha? So the very next pasuk says, Osachsim Shabbadishai. So the whole third parak in Malkus. On Sunday, have a Harusa. Balabas comes to learn with me on Sunday. So we're now learning Elohim Aloikin. So the whole theme of the third parak in Malkus is, what's considered Dumid Alav Dachasim? What's not Dumid Alav Dachasim? Alav Shema Maisa is Ain Laikim Olav. Alav Shinit Lansaris Mises Bezdan. Alav Anitik Lesei. Alav Shabin Adam Achaberam. A whole bunch of Lavim. The Klal is based on Smuchma. Many, many, many very famous Dinim. We spoke when we learned the Tosa this week, Mem Heil and Beis, that the Gemara Mem Heil and Beis says the Tupsuk and Kriyashma are next to each other. Kshatim lo so yadecha, chsavtim amzuzi b'isecha b'sharecha. A woman who is not mechuyiv, or a kotten, who is not mechuyiv to wear tefillin, is not kosher to write a mezuzah. You have to be a bakshira. That's there are many, many dinim based on smuchim and Mishnah Torah. So this is one of the most famous. The whole Perek Eilat Aloiken is based on the smuchim from today's Sedra. Some of the Rishonim have... There's a minig by many Jews that you don't start putting on the talis till after you get married. The Yekis don't have that minig. They put on the talis when the children are very little. So is there any mocha for chumash? A very strange minig. Why don't the young children wear? People are bar mitzvah. They don't wear a talis. Why shouldn't they wear a talis? So some of the Rishonim have the son of the Vilna Gaon. I think it was Rabbi Avram ben Agro. The son of the Vilna Gaon put out a sefer, a list of all of the midrashim that he was aware of. Some of them were printed already. Some of them were still in manuscript. He has a listing of all of the midrashim, and he has a little bit of a discussion with each medrash, what it's supposed to be all about. So he has a medrash on the pasuk, Kedilim Tasa L'cho, and today's sedra is right next to the pasuk, Kika Chishisha. So you see from the smuchim, that you only put on a talis after you get married. It's not, we don't think that matters from the days of the Tanoim or Amoraim, from the days of the Bale Atesis. So one of the Bale Atesis had that meaning, it's an old meaning, only to put on a talis after you get married. Usually the Kalib buys a talis for the Chosim. You have a lot of dinim that are learned out from Smuchim in today's Seder. Another din is Lo Yav Mamzer B'Kal Hashem. Who, what's the definition of a Mamzer? So the Gemara says, it's right next to the other pasuk. Lo yikachish yiseishes aviv, lo yigala knaf aviv. So there's a machlekes Rabbi Kibin HaChachamim. What is the pasuk talking about? Is it talking about chayvi kris? Is it talking about chayvi lavin? So if it's talking about chayvi lavin, then it says chayvi lavin rosem mamzerim. It says lo yaver mamzer bekal Hashem. If it's talking about chayvi kris, then it only shows that chayvi kris. The vlad is a mamzer. Whenever the vlad is a mamzer, then it's saying kiddush and dobson. So the two machloikas in Rabbi Kiva and Achachamim, whether by chayv elav and kiddush and dobson, whether by chayv elav and vlad mamzer, they're both toli zeh bezeh. Whenever it's saying kiddush and dobson, then the vlad is a mamzer. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. The word mamzer is a combination of the words me'aim zar, from a strange mother. The father and the mother couldn't have had kiddushin with each other, because it's a chavi krisis, it's an kiddush and tofsin. According to Rabbi Kiva, chavi lavin is also an kiddush and tofsin. So that's smichas hapsukim. The Gemara had darshan smuchim. It says liyava mamzer, and it's right next to the, right near the pasuk of leikach eish esavu leigala kanaf aviv. So the kanaf aviv is machlekes Rabbi Kiva and Achachamim. Is it talking about a chavi krisis or a chavi lavin? So that's the marker to determine what's the definition of a mamzer. Also, the famous din, Eser Dechalos Eser, that's also in the beginning of Yevamos. Eser Dechalos Eser is based on the Smuchim in today's Sedra. That it says, the Silba Shatan Semar Pishtim Yachto, Gdilim Tasalacho. So it says you have to put tzitzis in a beged, even if the beged is made from linen, and the tzitzis, the tchelos has to be made from wool. The Chutei Lovin can be Pishtim, can be linen. If the beggar is linen, the chutei loven can be linen. But the trellis string, whatever the beggar is made from, trellis string, you only use a trellis if it's wool. That's a question today. Some of the rabbani raised the question in the wool industry. in many places in the world, in order that the animal should give more wool, produce more wool, and the wool should be stronger, it shouldn't rip apart. So they breed the animals. They breed the sheep with some other animal, I don't know the whole chachma, and if it has the right mixture, then it's going to produce more wool, and the wool is going to be stronger. It's not going to rip so easily. And there's a Gemara in Pchoros that says that it only has a din of wool if it's all the way back to Sheshes and Mebereshes, it's a sheep from a sheep from a sheep. If there was ever a hybrid, so someone has to know how to check the DNA to make sure that it's a sheep, the son of a sheep. So that's a question. If it's not really wool, if the wool is a blend of something else mixed into the wool, then it's not kosher for tchelus. It's only kosher, only it's a tchelus. If it's pure wool, all the way back to Sheshes Mebereshes. You have to know how to figure out what the DNA is supposed to be. Anyway, so the Gemara points out these two psukim, you have to put in tzitzis with tcheles, even though it's going to be shatnas. That's based on esedechel eses. That's the original mocker of esedechel eses in today's sedrum. So there are a lot of dinim that are based on smuchim and Mishnah Torah. The Rambam has a Sefer Mitzvahs, and the first half of the Sefer Mitzvahs, he develops the 14 klolim, the 14 principles that determine whether any given mitzvah belongs in the Sefer Mitzvahs and the Minyan Mitzvahs or not. He has his klolim, his famous klolim. So Klal Tes, not all of them are so famous. Klal Tes is one of the more famous klolim that he has. That if you have a mitzvah that appears in the Chumash several times, you only count it once. You don't count it. Let's say, not to drink dam. It appears many times in the Chumash. So the Rambam says you only count it as one mitzvah. Kefil ha-mitzvah, kefil ha-lav is only counted once. So the Rambam, based on that principle, writes that in the beginning of Parshas Matos, it says, kol ha-yotze mipiv yaseh, a person takes a neder or a shvuah, he has to observe what he committed himself to. And today Seder it says, kisid ha-neder l'asham ha-kech l'asach ha-deshama, kidoi shidishen ha-hazem, motz v'asach ha-tishma v'yasisa, kasher ha-dato l'asham ha-kech ha-dover, So the Rambam said that's a kefil ha-mitzvah. Says already, what does it say again in Parshas Matos? Kol ha-yetz mipiv yaseh an essay. Here it says, motzlech ha-tishmar. So he says it's a kefil ha-mitzvah, you only count it once. That's the Rambam and the Sefer ha-mitzvah. So the Ramban disagrees, every so often Ramban disagrees with the Rambam, Sefer ha-mitzvah. He says there are two different parshios. The parsha in Matos is Nidri Harshu. So a guy takes a neder Rishwa not to eat cookies, not to go to a party, not to attend the wedding, whatever. That Nidri Harshu. Motzvecha Tishmar goes on Nidri Mitzvah. The guy takes a neder, he's going to learn tomorrow morning. He's going to wake up early and learn. Or Nidri Mitzvah, he's going to donate stoke, or he's going to give a korban to the Beis HaMikdash. The Ramban says there are two different parshios. Let's say a person took a neder not to go to his mother-in-law's 100th birthday party, and he doesn't go. So he fulfilled a mitzvah. He didn't fulfill any mitzvah. He didn't have erit by not going to the mother-in-law's party. She's probably going to cut him out of her will. She's going to be so angry why he didn't attend. He didn't violate, it's an isseres, it's not mutzach ha-tishmar. No. Chalayetzim ipiv yaseh. In Parshas Matos, that's by Nidre Rishus, that is not a Kiyum HaMitzvah, that's an Iser Esse. If you violate the Neder, you're over on an Iser Esse, but it's not that you're Mekayim an Esse. He took a stupid mitzvah, he took a stupid Neder, that he's not going to talk to someone. He took a Shua not to talk to him. He's Mekayim HaMitzvah, but he's not talking. If he doesn't talk, he's not over on an Iser, but he's not Mekayim HaMitzvah. Here, Motzvah Secha Tishma is by Nidre Mitzvah. He took a neder to give tzedakah. When he gives it tzedakah, he fulfills two mitzvahs, mitzvah tzedakah, and a mitzvah mitzvah secha tishmar. He took a neder to bring a korban to the Beis Hamikdash. He took a neder to learn daf yomi tomorrow morning. So he's mekayim two mitzvahs. He's mekayim the mitzvah of learning, and mekayim the mitzvah of fulfilling a neder. So the Ramban says, first of all, the two we should count it as two. One is an Iser essay, one is a Kiyam essay. So Rashi thought that the Rambam probably agrees with the Ramban. One is an Iser essay, one is a Kiyum essay. But he still thinks that it's a Kefil HaMitzvah. It's basically a repetition. even though there is a slight difference between the two. Then the Ramban has another two differences between the two. So he says the din of lo sacha l'shalmai only appears in kiseitze, only by nidrei mitzvah, by nidrei hoshus. The Ramban thinks that there is no din of baltei acher. So Rabbi Kevega points out in the Gilei and Hashas on the margin on the Gemara Nedarim that the Ran disagrees with this Ramban. The Ran there in the Dorim, the Ran took over the whole Nedarim. He has. You don't have to read the Gemara, just read the Ran. He quotes the Mishnah with the Gemara, with the Rashi, with the Tosafot, with the Rambam, with the Ramban. He quotes everything. Ran took over. Rav Soloveitchik used to say jokingly, the Ran was a Rosh Hashiva, he gave Shem, he doesn't let you say anything. The Ran took over the whole Masechta. So he didn't want to give Shurim on a door. Didn't like to give Shurim on a door. So the Ran gives such a mashal. The person takes a neder, I will abstain from eating cookies for 30 days and I will decide when I want to abstain. So if he says, I'm going to abstain from cookies starting from today, start from today. But if he doesn't say when, I take a neder, abstain from cookies for a period of 30 days. So if he waits, Sholosh Regalim, to begin to abstain, got to wait a whole year or Sholosh Regalim until he begins to observe the neder, so the Ram says he's in violation of Baal Teachah. So Rabbi Kevega said that's against the Ramban. Because the Ramban in the Sefer Mitzvah says Baal Teachah is only by nidrei mitzvah, not by neder not to eat cookies. Then the Ramban has a third difference. He thinks normally when a person takes a neder, Rosh Hashanah has to say hareni noda, hareni nishba, or the equivalent. I take an oath, I swear, I pledge. He has to say something that sounds like hareni noda nishba. But when it's nidrei mitzvah, he doesn't have to say either hareni noda, hareni nishba. He just says, I will bring a korban oila within the next month. He didn't say noda nishba. He says, he shows from the Gemara that it's binding, even though he didn't say hareni noda nishba. It's a chiddush. Ramban has a lot of chiddush. Kiseitze has a lot, a million dinim. Gotta learn the Sedra well. Okay. A good Shabbos, everyone.